the middle of the Mediterranean Sea was faced with the fact that you can't run away from God. His thinking was so twisted by his desire to get away from Nineveh, because it was he hated Nineveh, as most of the Jewish people would. And he had a problem with his attitude toward non-Jewish people. And he wrote, remember, he wrote this book, and it's a bad picture of him, this book. And as we'll see at the end today of this message, that he finishes the book with three unanswered questions. And they're really questions that we need to face today as we think about God and his mission to the nations. So Jonah, when he was there in Joppa, and the ship was there, and he probably said, oh boy, this is just perfect. I can get away from God's call. I can get away from this idea of going to Nineveh. But there's something we can learn from this. Everything that is provided, everything that we see there, everything that comes into our life is not necessarily from God and not necessarily God's provision. This was, God did not provide this ship for Jonah. We could say the enemy provided the ship to get Jonah away from God's will. And the great lesson that Jonah learned and that we can learn, it's costly to say no to God's word. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. And then we read here in verse 3, but Jonah more or less said, no thanks, thanks, but no thanks. And he went toward Tarshish. I couldn't help but think of an experience we had in Africa. When we were in Africa in Burkina Faso, we had a little deux-chevaux, two-horse car. It was like a pregnant roller skate. If you know anything about French cars and deux-chevaux, it was really a small car. But it's all that we could afford when we began our missionary career there in Burkina Faso. And one day we were in the second largest city in Burkina doing some shopping, and there was a CMA missionary in the city there. We stayed at the CMA rest house, and he was going home for good, and he was going to sell his car. He had a Volkswagen, double cab, a double-seated cab, Volkswagen, and it was blue, and it was beautiful. I mean, it's just everything I ever would want. You're sitting there and up on that over everything, and I had a pickup bed in back so I could use it for ministry, double seats so I could carry a lot of people. It was ideal, perfect. So I talked to the missionary, and we were setting up a plan whereby I could pay for it over time. And so I went to bed that night, and I laid down, and oh, I was so happy. But you know, there was a problem. There was a very quiet voice saying to me, don't do it. Don't do it. This is not my will. But it wasn't very loud. You ever get stopped by a policeman? They don't usually come up to the door window screaming and hollering at you, do they? They come up very slowly, very quietly, but with real authority, they speak. So God told me more than once, don't do it. But I did it. That car spent more time in the garage than it did with me driving it. I ended up putting more oil in it than gasoline. And it was a real problem. Then I realized what God meant when he said, don't do it. But Jonah did it, and he went down to Joppa, then he went down into the ship, and then he ended up going down into the water, then he went down into the ship, into the fish, and the fish took him down to the bottom of the ocean, and that's where we left him. So he'd been there for a week in the ship's belly. I can't imagine what he looks like today when we get him out. But we're in chapter 3, and this is very interesting. We go right back where we began with Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, chapter 3, verse 1, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. You better listen, Jonah, a second time. And what did he say? The very same thing. Go to Nineveh, that great city, that wicked city, and proclaim the message I will give you. So this time Jonah realized, I better go, because I barely made it, I barely escaped death last time. But here we see in verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. So this time he learned his lesson and he obeyed the Lord. And he went to Nineveh, and Nineveh is about 550 miles away from the shoreline, away from Joppa. And I'm not sure how he got to Nineveh. There were no airplanes or buses or trains. He probably walked, because we read later on that he was walking as he walked through the city of Nineveh. So I don't know how long would it take you to walk 550 miles. Probably a month. Could you do it in a month? Probably over a month. So Jonah, all that time that he was going, he had time to think. And what he was thinking was that, and he had been down in this fish for 3 days and three nights. How do we know he was there for 3 days and three nights? It doesn't really say so here. Jesus said that he was in the fish, the whale, 3 days and three nights. And so Jonah is a very important personality in the scriptures to illustrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he's in the whale for 3 days and three nights. And all this time he has time to think. And the key verse in this book is chapter 2, verse 9, the last part. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Read verse 9 with me. But I, with shouts of gratitude, of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord alone. The New Living Translation says, salvation comes from the Lord alone. That's like Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved except through the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see Jonah. He must have had a lot of time to think. They say there's no atheist in foxholes. There are no atheists in the whale's belly either. So it's interesting in this story, four times Jonah says God prepared. God prepared what? Well, first of all, if you look at chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord prepared, my translation says provided, but prepared is probably better, prepared a huge fish. We often think it's a whale, but it's not necessarily a whale. It's a special fish that God prepared for this occasion and what Jonah would need to be saved. So he was swallowed by this fish. And we'll see also how God prepared a plant. God prepared a worm. And God prepared a scorching wind. God was working on Jonah through all these different means, these different ways. So now we see in chapter 3 that Jonah is in the whale's belly for this time. And then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time and said the same thing. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message I have given to you. So he starts out, and if he walked all that time, he was walking, he had time to think about what had happened and what was ahead of him. And he didn't know if he would be put to death when he got to Nineveh or how he would be received. But he was going now in obedience to God. But his heart was not changed. You know, as we serve the Lord, there's two aspects to our ministry. It's what we do and it's why we do it, the attitude with which we do it. We can do God's will, and but if we do it with a wrong attitude, with a angry heart, a rebellious heart, even though we're doing God's will, we will have no reward if our attitude is not right. So Jonah, he was going to do God's will, but it was against his feeling. He still had a bad attitude toward the Ninevites. I remember when I used to give seminars in Africa on Islam, and I would give it to the non-Muslim background people that were not Muslims, they were animists. And during the seminar, occasionally different ones would come up and say, why preach to these people? Why preach to the Muslims? Let them go to hell. That's what they deserve. It's a waste of our time to preach to them. They deserve hell, so just leave them. And that's kind of what Jonah, his attitude here, but Jonah had learned a lesson that if he didn't obey God, he wasn't sure what God would do the next time. So Jonah went, and he went to Nineveh, and he preached. And God came down again, another intervention from God. And God brought a great movement of the Spirit, and the whole city of Nineveh was converted. How many were in Nineveh? Well, we'll see later on that there are 120,000 who could not read or write, and that probably refers to children. So if there was 120,000 children, it's estimated there were probably 600,000 people in that city. And the Word of God says through Jonah's preaching, that the city of Nineveh was converted. And it started with the king. When the king heard what was going on, he took off his royal cloak and put on sackcloth and covered himself and sat in the ashes. And the people followed his example. And it also says the animals, chapter 4, verse 8, but the people and animals were covered with sackcloth. So even the animals were implicated. The animals and the people were fasting. The animals didn't choose to do that, but the people it was a forced fast. I have Indian friends that said, they often say, let's declare a fast. You declare fasts in India, they're quite common. Let's declare a fast. And so here the king declared a fast to show their desire to repent. And then what happened? Then God came down again. This is the sixth intervention of God into the story of Jonah. Verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10. Or chapter 3, verse 10, I'm sorry. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented. That means he changed his mind, in a sense, of judging them, and did not bring them to the destruction he had threatened. Now, this is what Jonah was worried about. This is what Jonah, we'll see in a minute, how Jonah said to God, this is exactly what I knew would happen if I went to Nineveh and preached. I know you, that you're a compassionate God. And if this wicked people, if they would repent, you would spare them, you would save them, and you would not judge them. And that's exactly what I wanted to happen, their destruction. So Jonah is having a terrible time here with what God is doing. It's always better to fit in with God and with what he's doing and accept him. Now we get to verse 4. Now God had intervened, and the fish had, I don't know if I should use the word burped up or threw up, Jonah on land. You can imagine what he looked like after being in that fish for that length of time. And that, all that, I don't know about you, but I would have gone crazy because I'm claustrophobic. Whenever I have an MRI, I never open up my eyes when I go into that tube. I know if I open my eyes, I'm finished. So I keep my eyes closed, and but because I'm claustrophobic, I don't know what I would have done if I'd have been in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights like Jonah. But then we come to verse chapter 4. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. So Jonah was not happy with what God was doing and what God was allowing to happen in Nineveh. He says here that what God did, he looked and saw how God had converted the city of Nineveh, 600,000 people converted, turned from their evil ways and spared judgment. And what do you think was going on in heaven? What does the Bible say it takes place in heaven when people are converted? There's what? There's joy in the presence of the Lord when people are converted. There's joy among those who are converted. But look at what happened here with God's prophet. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. What God was doing was very wrong. I hope you never get to that place where you say, well, this is what God is doing, but it's very wrong. You're going to be on the wrong end of the stick with that one. And he became angry. So Jonah said what God was doing was wrong, and he was angry because of it. I hope that you and I never pronounce that over something God does that it's wrong and become angry over it. And then he said in verse 2, he prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I know that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. So he said, I knew this is what was going to happen, and now it's happened. My enemies, who I was hoping would be destroyed, are now happy. They're rejoicing. They're in their. So he's what's his reaction? Look here at verse 3. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Three times in this chapter, he asked God if he might die. Now, that's a very serious thing for pagan, for animists, for pagan people like the Ninevites here to ask, like Jonah, to ask that they might die. Then we see here in verse 4, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah, should you really be angry over this? You have a good reason to be angry? And what's his answer? Look at here at verse 5. God said in verse 4, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at the place east of the city where he made himself a shelter and sat down in the shade and waited to see what the Lord would do. So God said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah got upset and he went outside the city rather than staying there with the people who now had repented, who now had come into a relationship with Jehovah and become part of his people through their conversion. He went outside and he started to pout and he was very upset. And so the first question comes, is it right for you to be angry? And Jonah more or less said, yes, it is right for me to be angry. This is not right that you're going to spare this wicked people. And Jonah wanted to die. Then in verse 6, then the Lord God. You see, it's usually, whenever in your Bible, if it's all capital, L-O-R-D, that means Jehovah. If it's capital L, small O-R-D, that's Adonai, that means master. If it's just God, that means Elohim, the creator God, the God who is responsible for the creation. So here we see Lord God, Lord Jehovah, that's the God of the Jews, and God is the God who is concerned with whole creation, all the nations, and made it. Then the Lord God provided, they have the word provided again, a leafy plant, and made it grow over Jonah to give shade to his head and to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy. The only time in this whole story, the book of Jonah, where Jonah is happy is at this time when he had this shade from this plant that God provided for him. And he was very happy. He wasn't happy over all these 600,000 people being turning from evil to God, but he was happy over this plant. He was very happy about the plant. But at dawn, the next day, God provided. Here's God providing again. God provides all kinds of things in our life to kind of push us and guide us and herd us along in his will. He provided a worm. Now, this Jonah had this plant for, he must have watered it and hugged it and sat there under the shade of this plant. He really became bonded with it. But the next day, God provided a worm, and the worm came and ate the plant. And the plant, that verse 8, when the sun rose, God provided, again, your God is a providing God, provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, second time, and said, it would be better for me to die, there's a third time he mentions death, than to live. But God said to Jonah, second time, second question, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah said, it is, he said, and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. So here he's preoccupied with his dying. His eyes are off the living God, and he's going down into the depths of despair and depression and wanting to die. So God says, is it right for you to be angry that this plant was eaten by the worm that I provided? And God is teaching Jonah these lessons. And he says he wished he was dead. So here we see this coming from the word coming from God. And he was angry because this plant that was giving him all this shade was now gone. And God is trying to speak to Jonah through all this. And now we come here to verse 11. And God says, is it right that you're angry? First time he says it. Is it right that you're angry about the death of this plant? And Jonah says, yes, it is. Now here's the third question. And should I not, and God says, should I not be concerned for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left? Many scholars believe this is a reference to children. So if you had 120 children, you probably, counting all the teenagers and adults, you probably had 600,000 people in the city of Nineveh. So now God, this final question that God is posing to Jonah and to us in a sense too, is it, should God not have this concern, this love for those who are yet outside of his saving grace, for those who are yet outside of his salvation? Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord has provided this plan of salvation for the nations. And shouldn't we be concerned about these people who have yet to hear? There are 17,500 people groups, and 42% of them have never heard the Word of God. Now, there are many who have heard the Word of God, but they've not responded to it. So we also are concerned for them. So you have those who have never heard the Word of God at all. You have others who have heard the Word of God, but they've not responded positively to that. So that's our responsibility also. So as God's people, we need to keep focused on God's plan. We remember in the beginning, I mentioned there's two stories taking place. There's God's mega story that overarches all of our small human micro stories. So as you gather together here to pray, as you gather together here to worship, from God's perspective, the most important thing happening in the world is when we gather together and we pray for the advance of God's mission in the world. That from God's perspective, that's more important than what takes place in Washington or Moscow or London or Tokyo or wherever it may be. When God's people are gathered together to pray, and that's why, as you saw with these pictures, did you show all the pictures?
No.
You haven't showed them yet? Okay. I was thinking about the message, so I was. Okay, I'm going to close now. And then I got some pictures from CAP in Myanmar. The first time I came to Northwest Bible Chapel was to a missionary study class quite a few years ago. When Joel Ayers, I think some of you know Joel Ayers, he's going to be with the Lord, I believe. Isn't that right, Bill? Yeah. He was presenting he was giving a presentation on his trip to Myanmar. I had never heard of Myanmar. I heard of Burma, but I didn't know much about Myanmar, same country. And I came that night, and I'd just come back from Africa, and we were setting up house here in Wheaton, and I was praying about what to do with my life now, what ministry would I have now. And I had been teaching for 16 years, my wife and I, we've been teaching for 16 years in Burkina Faso at a Bible Institute. And I came home, and that night Joel Ayers was talking about CAP's Bible school there in Myanmar. And Bill Coyle, I think some of you know Bill Coyle, he used to be the head of Stewart's Ministries. He became a good friend, and Stewart's Ministry started to sponsor me in trips that I made to Myanmar. I've been to Myanmar, I think, 12 times, to India, to West Africa, and to Ethiopia, teaching in Bible schools. But it all started here with Joel Ayers and his presentation on Myanmar. So I'm very thankful to Northwest Bible Chapel and for that night that I had here. So we're going to see some slides that CAP sent me, some pictures of a ministry. It's called Children's Christmas. CAP is one of your missionaries, and I would strongly encourage you to really stand with him. It's very difficult in Myanmar right now. The Buddhist government and Buddhist army is very much against the traditional peoples and the churches that are there in Myanmar. It's very difficult, but he's got a great work. And he's a wonder. I've had a chance to work with many church leaders, but I've met very few like CAP. And he's a very humble man, very honest man, and a very good man. So the Lord bless you. And this, you have a chance now to see how the Lord has answered your prayers and how he's using your investment in CAP. So you're going to show the pictures now? Yeah, okay. I can't say anything about them. You could say as much as I could, because I don't know much about them, except that the teachers and the leaders in these with these children, they have come through CAPS Bible school. I've probably taught most of these students at one time or another at his Bible school. And I'm also doing video recordings now for a seminary that he has at that Bible school. So I do the video recordings and they send them to him. Then he shows them in his classes so I can keep contact with him that way. So this is the ministry that they have there in Myanmar with the children. It's incredible. Isn't it beautiful, all those kids? Man, what am I here for? Why am I not there? Anyhow, the Lord has his time. Okay, thank you, Kath. Thank you, Ray. I'm going to close in prayer. And then I think we're going to go downstairs and have a meal and play bingo. I have never played bingo, and I know I won't win, so don't sit too close to me because I'm bad luck, if you believe in luck. Anyhow, I have nothing against playing bingo, unless you're gambling, and I don't think you are. I don't think you're going to become rich over this one. Okay, did you want me to pray for the food too? Oh, okay. Okay, thank you for this opportunity that you have given my wife and I to be here with you these 3 weeks. It's been a real joy and blessing to get to know some of you again and some of you for the first time. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, how we thank you for your goodness, for your beauty, for your loveliness, for all that you are. Do bless your word. Lord, help us to learn from Jonah when you told him to go preach. He should have done that, and he learned his lesson. We thank you, Lord, for your compassion. Lord, you left these three questions unanswered. They're for us to consider. So help us, Lord, to give true answers to these questions from our hearts, embracing your mission, redemptive mission to the nations. Bless, we pray for CAP, Lord, and the ministry there in Myanmar. Pray for the church of Myanmar that is going through such a time of persecution. Lord, have mercy on that and continue to use the church that it might grow. Bless all these young children that heard the word of God over Christmas, that they might put it into practice and embrace it by faith. Glorify your name. Bless the food now, Lord, in our time of fellowship. Your name might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.